This is Pure Decking for Thursday, March the 1st, 2018, I think. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, figuring out just how rigged the game is, and realizing I forgot to write a new joke, so instead I'm just going to play this. I'm Morps, and tonight we have Are You, what are you drinking?
Water again, as it's just after lunchtime, and my alcoholism is not that raging.
Living dangerously.
It is there, though.
Madman, what are you drinking?
I am drinking oatmeal whiskey again.
Cool. BSV.
I'm just drinking a Northeast beer.
Ah. And I am doing the last of my rye whiskey with the bitter milk. Old-fashioned mix in it, so it's good. Unfortunately, the rye whiskey by itself is also really good, so it tends to go much faster than the bitters do, because that's kind of when you're really kind of wanting to spice up the drink thing, as opposed to just, you know, drink your bourbon.
You're on iTunes.
What?
Yeah.
Your decking is on iTunes.
Wow. Okay.
I was not aware we were on iTunes. What do we have to say to get kicked off? Is it at least marked explicit?
I have no fucking idea. I usually have the website saved, so I'm just going through different random search results of G15 right now. Instead of, you know, keying in the URL like a normal person.
Because Galaxy 15 radio is so hard to punch into a web address bar, right?
Yep.
Well, now you got me curious. Pure Decking, iTunes.
Wow.
How in the hell?
Got show 293, 294, 295, and 296 up for download.
Wow.
296? Yeah, well, that's... So somebody's fed it the feed. iTunes could be a creative comment. I didn't post it on iTunes. I don't know how it's getting there.
Not exactly going to stop it, but we're not going to support it either.
How? How do I stop it? I didn't set it up.
I have no idea.
So, that's fun.
On other random things you find when you Google G15, apparently it's also... Major housing association in London. Did we buy property and not realize it?
Quiet, BSV. Morps isn't made to know about that.
Oh, well.
Not until we're audited.
Exactly. That way he can pit the tax bill.
No, Cycros is right. We've got Creative Commons music all over this thing. So.
Yeah.
They've got to just be. Somebody's just feeding in a RSS feed. So, which at one point I had the Creative Commons license prominently displayed for, I think it still does if you go in the show thing. The show thing. So if you go to shows.galaxy15radio.com, switch decking, which is where the actual feed lives.
How does that work now? If iTunes give you a cease and desist, but you're not doing it.
I just have to email them back. I don't own that feed. I don't know who's picking up my RSS, but they need to quit it.
Yeah, I wonder how that works.
Huh? Yeah, because, I mean, the show itself is supposed to be Creative Commons. At one point, I had that posted. It's not on the show feed. That's interesting.
Yeah. Either way.
Yeah. So... I don't care enough to actually go get it taken down because, you know, hey, I might be getting listeners through there.
Yeah. I mean, it's not hurting anyone.
For anybody.
And you're not.
Yeah. I mean, it's harmless, but it's just an RSS. It's probably just linking the RSS feed.
So. Just make sure that if you are the one doing it, that's awesome. Go right ahead. But make sure you put explicit and creative comments and not news. It's commentary.
Fake news. No, it's just fake
commentary.
Commentary. And poor commentary at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, make sure you tag it with all the right things.
Poor commentary, mild racism, you know.
Oh, only against the brown people and the white people. And sometimes the Asians, if she's not a hot chick. Don't be racist against the hot Asian chicks.
In all seriousness, if you're listening to the show on iTunes, hop in the IRC Thursday nights and say hi, because I don't know who's doing that. We don't advertise at all, so it's just like, oh, hell. Anyways.
Oh, man.
Way to derail the show, Madman.
Just feel sorry for the guy. You're like, hey, I got this new show you should listen to. It's on iTunes. Dude, listen to this. Holy shit. Reassesses his whole friendship with that guy.
Oh, shit. Hey, but I achieved my goal. I'm now in the chat.
Oh, fuck.
Don't Google it. Just go ahead and key the URL in the box at the top. Just Google it. You'll find a lot of other interesting things, but not what you're looking for.
Yeah, we don't. Well, I mean, we never played the whole SEO thing, and it's not like there's actually much content on the main page. It's just the IRC and a link to the shows and the station. So there's nothing for the search engine to actually, you know, index anymore. So I don't know. I suppose we could, like, turn it into a blog and say something real inflammatory on there just to, you know, get some attention. But I don't know that it's – I don't really want attention.
Why?
Yeah.
Why? You don't want to play whack-a-mole? Fuck that.
I'm getting enough of that shit at work. So
exactly.
Anyways, I guess we'll move on here to lead story. And I had some back and forth with Cykros on this one. Well, back and forth. He sent me a comment, and I sent him a comment back. But he sent me this article. It's from NPR, and it's from the 23rd, so it's a little bit earlier in the week. Trump administration restricts H-1B worker visas covered by high tech. The Trump administration is tightening the rules for companies that contract out high-skilled workers who are in this country on H-1B visas. The U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Service Agency issued a new policy memo on Thursday that requires detailed statements of work and work orders about the work that will be performed when an H-1B visa worker is employed at a third-party work site. Employers will have to file more details that support the need for foreign talent. H-1B visas are controversial. American tech companies use them to hire highly skilled foreign workers, such as engineers, IT specialists, architects, among others, in situations where they say there is a shortage of U.S.-born talent. And there's a whole argument around that. The visas are good for 3 years and renewable for another 3-year term. Critics of the visas, 85,000 of which are issued every year, say American workers are aced out of competition with workers who can be paid less. As CNN reports, Indian outsourcing firms will be the hardest hit. Indian workers receive more than 70% of all H-1B visas. The U.S. CIS memo says that if a visa beneficiary will be placed at one or more third-party work sites, the employer has specific and non-speculative qualifying assignments in a specialty occupation for the beneficiary for the entire time requested in the petition, and the employer will maintain an employer-employee relationship with the beneficiary for the duration of the requested validity period. Oh, wow. These guys are indentured servants. You Blaves. Can't quit. You get deported.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one of the big upsides for employers, because you've seen it every time you've moved up, made
That's
more
true.
Money, but involves moving companies usually. Same thing with everyone else in that position. The more skills you get hired in as cable monkey number 5, but you actually learn some stuff. I'm not going to pay you more because I need cable monkey number 5. So I'm now losing cable monkey number 5 because he's outskilled what I need him for. And he wants to go make some more money. With this, I've got a nice little Indian dude. I can feed him some curry and some rice every so often. The fucker can't go anywhere because I'm going to ship his ass back to Bangladesh.
Pretty much got it right, man. I can't add anything to that. You're right.
The memo says USCIS recognizes that visa holders may wind up ending less or earning less money than promised, or might perform non-specialty jobs when they are contracted out to third-party work sites. The policy changes come as the Trump administration has signaled its desire to change the visa program with a Buy American, Hire American policy outlined in an executive order signed in April 2017. The order promised to root out fraud and abuse in the program. As Mercury News reports, H-1B program has come under intense federal scrutiny, and then they've got a quote from the thing which basically says the same thing. So, now, Mad Ben, you're right. I have seen this personally, and so read my reaction to this story with an appropriate amount of bias, because I think it's fantastic that they're looking into this. I've worked with several people who were in the country on H-1Bs. And I don't know if it's a cultural thing or maybe just, you know, bad luck of the people I was working with, but they're useless. Mm. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't, you know, immediately racist. No, everyone I've worked with has been useless. They bring them in for about, you know, you get two or three of them for the cost of hiring one, you know, reasonably talented person who actually knows what they're doing to come in. And if they were willing to learn, I wouldn't have nearly the problem with them that I do. And this is where I think it must be a cultural thing that I don't understand. Because every single one of them I've worked with has been like, no, I know what I'm doing. You don't know what you're doing. And then they proceed to, you know, completely draw on the wall with shit. I mean, it's just like, yeah, you get more code churned out that way, but most of it is useless. Most of it you can't do anything with. And even simple tasks like, you know, they've written a new piece of code. Okay, cool. What server does that get deployed on? And then they're silent. I'm like, well, no, I need to know where this is supposed to fit in the application stack so I can deploy your code. And then finally, I had one of them actually say to me on a phone in front of a whole bunch of management, you're just supposed to know. And I kind of lost my shit. Because I'm like, this is a brand new program that you just wrote. Yeah? He goes, yes. Okay. You put it through QA. Yeah? No, we didn't put it through QA, but it has to go now. Okay. This has to go through QA before it goes on prod. Well, we don't have time to put it through QA. We promised it'd be delivered tomorrow. Who promised that? And then you find out it was the programmer. And it's just like, oh my God. I have never seen the mess made in an AWS environment before I saw what one guy managed to pull off who was an H-1B guy. I mean, holy shit. So,
going in combination of bad draws on your part and a bit of culture, because there is a kind of culture problem when we're pulling from India, hate to say it. They still have a caste system.
But they're not willing to learn. They it's like they have the job, therefore they must be an expert in it. And it's like,
depending on where they are in the caste system, they're supposed to be born as an expert.
Yeah. I'm with Madman.
Nobody's born
there.
A fucking expert in Java. It's Java.
Yes, but you don't see, sir. I am from this caste. I am very good. I'm born good. That's really bad, I know, but yeah. The caste system does play into a lot of the culture.
Well, so there is a cultural aspect of it I don't get. Because I'm picking on a couple of them that I've worked with that have really been, you know, stand out. But a lot of the ones I've worked with have just not been, like just not understood basic things. I mean, this is such a stupid example, but at an event they were doing a bingo game, and it was, you know, an IT bingo game. They were using, you know, little Skittles for the bingo markers. And mm-hmm. One of them just pulls out her Sharpie and starts marking on the paper instead of using the candy. And it's like, oh, no, they wanted you reuse they said they wanted to reuse the paper for the next group, just use the candy. She proceeded to ruin three more sheets and just wouldn't listen to anybody. She's like, no, I'm going to mark it. And it's just like, you know, a couple of people said things to her, and she's like, no, I know how to play.
Yeah.
And she just, you know, continued to destroy shit. So
you just need to find an educated untouchable. You'll be fine.
Yeah. I just... All the ones I've worked with have just been real winners, let me tell you. So, you know, maybe that's bad draw on my part. I don't know. I really don't think it's a race thing, but I mean, it really could be a culture thing. But more importantly, you know, the companies will hire a lot of these people, and generally, we end up having to cover for them, right? And so, because, you know, a product still has to ship, your team still has to get things out, you still have to get things, you know, taken care of, you still have to get it, you know, you still have to, you know, keep the lights on. So you end up having to cover for these people, and, you know, you tell management what's up, and they're just like, oh, no, just, you got to work with them, and, you know, you get a lot of code out of them, but most of it's not very useful, and I just... You know, and I have a personal problem with it because they drag the general wages down for everybody in the market. You were importing from a much cheaper market, you know.
Are their educational standards being met? Maybe it's not entirely their fault. Maybe their education system in training. Yes, the degree may say I'm qualified for that, but I'm actually not because the quality of education I received was a lot lower.
I'm not sure on that because a lot of them are actually educated in the U.S.
Says I just don't understand it because I'm a dog. I guess that's a common insult from them. I don't know. He said he deals with it a lot in the restaurant work, so it's like, okay. But I just, you know, they're dragging wages down, and it's not that there's not enough American talent to take these jobs. It's that there's not enough American talent that's willing to work at the rate they want to pay.
There we go.
And if you didn't have something like an H-1B kind of sustaining this idea that you can get this work done cheaper, the market would sort it out and you'd end up with a wage that's somewhat fair. Probably wouldn't be as high as I would like it to see because, you know, companies still want to, you know, lowball everything. But the market would take care of that. But because you're importing from a much cheaper market, you're distorting the cost of things.
One thing, if they're wanting to get the wage down and still kind of stay U.S., a lot of entry-level IT, they could go to more apprenticeship rather than just 4-year college degree. Or maybe, I don't know, certs straight up instead of a college degree, because if you're going through a U.S. citizen, then going for a 4-year degree, I'm going to need a job to pay off my 4-year degree and still live on.
Well, you know, comes down to, one second. Oops.
Go ahead.
It comes down. I think IT work and stuff like that, especially in Morph's field, should be an apprenticeship. You come in on just the basics, and then you work with the dude who's been doing the job for 10, 15 years. For 4 years, work your way up so you know exactly what's happening. Instead of having a 4-year bill and then shopping around trying to compete with people who are going to work for half the wages that you could work for. You follow me there? I think the idea of university and things like that is almost dead.
Well,
unless you
want
to be a very specialized, high-skilled position. Because university degrees, now that everyone's got one, they're not worth shit.
No, I 100% agree with you that I would much rather get in somebody, especially in my field, somebody who knows basic operating systems, basic system administration, basic networking, and it would be nice if they knew a little bit of common IT process or IS process, but, you know, the hardcore tech, you can learn.
But if the dude's coming in and working for $25,000 a year, you can forgive them a lot for not knowing a lot of stuff.
Oh, sure.
But as their wages grow, like the second year, okay, it should be maybe $30,000 if they've, you know, proven themselves a bit. And then work their way up. I think entry level, you know, $25,000.
I might actually be getting some juniors at work, so I might have my apprentices.
Poor bastards.
They have no idea. So, yeah, it's all kind of still up in the air, but after the past couple of months I've had, it's kind of becoming clear to management. It's like, oh, yeah, can you give us a task breakdown? Wow, every single one of your tasks is below 5%. Why is that? Why is that? Well, because you all keep asking me to do shit. It's like, so you're only putting 5% of your time a week into some of these? Yeah. Are they getting done? No. So.
In yeah. this visa thing, it's not just in the tech industry. We're bringing in restaurant workers and hotel employees in the B visa program.
We're doing the same thing, madman, and it fucking pisses me off because.
Go ahead, BC.
Don't really need an education or anything for those degree or jobs. I know it's the whole they can pay cheaper, but yeah, that should not those type of jobs should not fall under this visa. At least in my opinion.
The only one I've seen a breakdown of that isn't super abused is the B visa program for doctors. And the only reason that's not super abused is we're telling them where to go.
Yeah.
So we're getting a general practitioner to go live in BFE nowhere that no doctor wants to live because there's like 12 people and a cow. And now there's medical service there, and the guy's stuck because if he leaves, his visa's being pulled. That's the only one I haven't seen that's super abused. Every other B visa program is questionable.
So Cycros is talking about how he'd love to learn in the chat. So I'm going to go ahead and, you know, what I was getting ready to type to him, or what I was typing to him. He's talking about he'd love to learn systems, but he just doesn't have, you know, the stuff to play with at home. You don't need nearly as much as you used to. Used to be, yeah, I had stacks of old computers and, you know, software I'd pirated off of, you know, various places I'd worked so I could install my home lab and, you know, you'd spend a ton of time on Pirate Bay looking for systems and stuff like that so you could learn it. Nowadays, it's a hell of a lot easier to get started. Strong desktop, high core count, high, you know, decent amount of RAM. So if you've got a fairly modern processor, you probably got 8 threads. And at least 8 gigs of RAM, that's enough. You can run a couple of VMs. VirtualBox is free. All the Linux stuff is free, and a lot of stuff's going that way. You take your time to learn your basic Linux, learn your basic Windows admin, because you can download Windows Server and Windows Workstations and run them on eval licenses for like 30 days. So you could totally set up a temporary Active Directory in virtual machines. Just kind of run through some of it, learn the basics, learn a little bit of group policy. You can get a freebie license for VMware ESXi, and so you can learn the basics of a little bit of the server-side VMware. You can get old Cisco gear off eBay. He's talking about Cisco in the chat room, but there are actually Cisco emulators you can download for learning the Cisco gear. And a lot of software now will have like a 30-day eval license, and you can just pull it down and play with it for a bit. And especially on your home network, you're not going to have all the traffic you need to really test out some of this stuff. But it's like, dude, I mean, you don't need nearly as I mean a fairly nice workstation class laptop, and the time and a little bit of drive. I mean, there's enough YouTube videos out there, assuming YouTube doesn't go the way, you know, YouTube's going to be going away in a couple of years, I suspect. But, you know, right now there's plenty of YouTube videos and stuff like that, or, you know, hell, you can just go get, you know, free tutorial blogs and shit like that. You could easily get yourself up to level 1 or 2, you know, junior sysadmin fairly quickly. Security work is a little bit touchier because that generally does require some experience in the sysadmin side because you need to know how the damn systems work to be able to secure them. But which is unfortunately why you see a lot of people go on the pen testing side as opposed to the blue teaming side, because pen testing, you don't really know have to really know how it works. You can it's very helpful, and you'll be a much better pen tester if you do. But if you're just kind of getting started, yeah, you could grab a copy of Kali and Damn Vulnerable Linux and learn how to break into web apps without having a fantastic background of what's really going on. But I think it'd be really, you'd be better off, you know, spending some time in the sysadmin world than just learning how it works. That's where most security people actually start, is they you know, they'll do 5-10 years as a sysadmin, then move into security. And I guess I'm a bit of an oddity because I've been in security the whole time. But I was doing sysadmin work on the side, and that's one of the reasons I had, you know, such a crazy home lab. Didn't I have like 30 computers at one point, Madman, in that house?
Oh, yes.
I mean,
not all of them had cases.
Yeah, it got a little crazy at one point. I've gotten rid of a ton of that stuff. Sun workstations is kind of when I realized I had a problem when I was, you know, getting those Sun workstations and servers working. It's like, you know, these may not be useful in the real world.
I like that. Those are where you thought this might not be useful. The Commodore on the internet. Useful how?
I got on PBSs with that shit, dude. And yes, Cycros, the power bill did suck if I left it on all the time. You start learning fairly quickly, okay, if I'm going to run these systems, let me shut these down. And, you know, you start only having five or six on at a time. But, yeah, you have the entire room just full of, you know.
Except in the winter when we just didn't turn on the heater.
That's true. We did do that a couple of
Yeah, when you were the roommate, I don't think we turned on the heater in the winter.
So, anyways. Yeah, so the problem is they're bringing in these H-1B visas as opposed to hiring up juniors and training them up. And I think RU is exactly right. I think an apprenticeship program, maybe like a two-year technical school just to get the basics down, basic operating system, basic networking, maybe a little bit of coding. That's usually a good thing to have just to kind of get in. And then apprenticeships. You know, go apprentice under a programmer for 5 years, or go apprentice under a sysadmin for 5 years, or security engineer, whatever, right?
Yeah.
I honestly think that you would get better IT people out of that because, well, okay, you know, I have the formal education. I don't use any of it in my day-to-day job. I mean, any of it. Not even the policy shit because it's all out of date.
Yeah.
The piece of paper is literally to get you past HR.
And unfortunately, HR decides who gets hired instead of the departments that need people.
Yep.
Actually, what most places do is they'll bring you in through the help desk. You do your, you know, year or two on the help desk and then get to move into another area. So, but
if you haven't killed yourself.
Yeah. There are people who don't make it out of the help desk, but if you think the stress of a help desk is bad, you've never been sitting there with, you know, the CFO, the CTO, and your boss, and four or five engineers all around your cube watching you try to figure out just what the fuck happened to the main website that the company makes all their money on. So,
a little bit of pressure.
A little bit. Of course, then you feel like the hero when you fix it, right? So,
well, that's why you keep one tumbler with water and one tumbler with bourbon. And don't mix them up.
The incident response plan may or may not have vodka in it right now. Oh, I need to take that back home, put it back in the bottle before I get in trouble. Anyways,
kind of wondering why this is a surprise. He actually campaigned on this.
It's not. I think it's nice that he's looking into it. But yeah, people are losing their shit over it because, oh, racism. No. It's actually an unfair program. So
yes, it is.
I love racism. We have Indians and black people here. We can hire them. They're already here. Would you like an IT degree? I will give you a job if you get an IT degree.
If one of them wants to do the apprenticeship thing, I'm down. Fuck. I don't care what color the skin is. Can you type? Fuck, it's not like anybody can see you unless you kick on the webcam when you're up behind a screen anyways.
Oh, God, don't do that. No, too many people that work from home. Those fuckers aren't wearing pants.
Well, you still got to come in the office, right?
Yeah, one day a week you're wearing pants. Don't turn the webcam on. Please.
Oh, I have logged in at 10 o'clock at night and got on the VoIP software and had the webcam kick on and realized, oh, the webcam's on. Sorry, boss. You know, not wearing a shirt, nothing. Just sitting there in your boxer shorts. It's like, oh, this computer has a camera. oh fuck, this computer has a camera.
Has a camera.
It's like I missed one with the electrical tape. Yeah, that's how you tell everybody's in security. All the laptops have electrical tape over the cameras.
And everybody has a drinking problem.
Yeah, that tends to happen. At least in security, because for fuck's sake, all these problems all day long and you never can seem to get any of them fixed. It's like, yeah, that's hard. We're not going to fix that. Wait, what? So, next article is from Ars Technica. Judge bars student from violent video games after alleged shooting threat. It's from Ars Technica. A DuPage County, Illinois judge has barred a suburban Chicago area student from playing violent video games during his home detention at the state's attorney's request after the 16-year-old made threats to commit a school shooting. Is this the guy they like just overheard making a joke, or is this somebody actually making threats? Because I know there was one who got arrested not too long ago who they're pretty sure he was just making a joke.
I don't know. Let me have a look.
The Chicago Tribune reports on the case of the unnamed Lake Park High student who was allegedly playing a violent game in a February 23rd Snapchat post where he wrote, "Y'all need to shut up about school shootings or I'll do one."
Really? That sounds like a joke.
Yeah.
It's not a joke.
It's not something you should joke about.
Yeah.
It's in poor taste. I'm certainly not going to deny that. A DuPage County State's Attorney spokesperson confirmed to Ars that the Assistant State's Attorney, Luzia Nicolas, made a motion to bar the student from social media and violent video games as a condition of his release into home detention. Judge Robert Anderson overruled an objection from the student's public defender and admonished the parents, according to the spokesperson, assigning them responsibility for keeping him off those games. You can play all the Mario Kart you want. What? You can play all the Mario Kart you want, the judge told the student. Has he never played Mario Kart? That game gets fucking nightmarishly vicious. I mean, I've seen friendships end over Mario Kart.
With a fucking Mario Kart controller with a Wiimote.
I mean,
what, firing large spiky shells at people is violent?
I mean, I've seen somebody almost get killed over a fucking blue shell. I mean,
especially more if you're in the room with that person.
No kidding, right? So the spokesperson told Ars that the video game ban is not a punishment per se, but merely an extra precaution. It's not a punishment, it's an extra precaution to help ensure that he has a successful home detention. I don't know, the violent video games might give him an outlet. Now he's, you know, more likely to beat up his parents or something. I mean, shit.
I don't know, I can see it as kind of a punishment. You're supposed to somewhat be in jail. Why the hell should you have cable television and a violent video game?
That's true. So
lock the kid in the closet, give him a PB&J sandwich once a day and a bucket.
Yep, you take a knife to his forehead, tell him he's Harry Potter. You're a lizard, Harry. The country does not usually, or the county does not usually seek these kinds of restrictions in juvenile areas or cases as a policy, the spokesperson said, but it was sought in this case because of the nature of the allegations and the circumstances of the case. I'm not an expert in video games, but I know a lot of these games, they can communicate to each other. Or I know in a lot of games they can communicate to each other, the spokesperson tells Ars. Again, it's an extra precaution. The defendant in this case will appear in court to face two counts of disorderly conduct on March 12th, while the gaming and social media restrictions could be discussed at the hearing. The spokesperson said the state's attorney office will seek to keep them in place for the duration of his home detention. With fear in our classrooms, teachers can't teach and students can't learn, the state's attorney office said in a statement. The case against the student epitomizes the need for parents to be involved and to monitor the children's social media use. Okay, that's true. The judge order comes from, as politicians from President Trump on down have revived public debate over the effects of video game violence on children, blah, 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 blah.
There is no effect. Don't want him talking to people on the internet, just say no internet.
Well, you know what? I do know of some video games that make people into violent violent people.
But I'm not sure he's played by people, so when I shoot him in real life, it's not violent. violence. It's pest control. Not violence.
Told you I'm not a threat just because I called somebody a Hanzo main.
The cheese printer. Are you please tell me that's not real?
That is real, man. On my strange trips to Amazon, that is real. That is now my new favorite thing.
Oh my god, what do we have here?
The cheese printer. Why? Is it the same paper they use on cakes when they do the printing on cakes?
I think so.
That cannot taste good. Anyways, So, no, you should not even joke about making threats of school shootings because they should be monitoring social media for people making these threats because that's what almost all the last couple of ones were doing before they did the school shooting is, like, posting YouTube videos of them with guns and talking about how they're going to shoot up their school and all this. So I'm not saying you shouldn't check it out when these kids say that. But if somebody
did he have YouTube videos of him with guns and
did he just make that's the thing? Did he just make a poor taste joke or you know was there something more going on here? I'd like to think that the cops went into the home and found guns and you know saw like you know a badly behaved kid and thought something else was going on here. Maybe he had a record for something else. But they also want to show
if
that
the kid's badly behaved.
Yeah, they could
if
be
the kid's
show
badly behaved, man.
Yeah, we whip him.
And there's guns in the house. Doesn't make him a shooter.
No, it does not. But I'd like to think like maybe a previous record of complaints, you know, something to make you think that there's more going on here than just some idiot kid said something stupid on the internet.
Being the neighbor's dog, dousing a cat with gasoline, you know, something. Cruelty to animals, wetting the bed. Hey, serial killers piss the bed, dude.
So, it's a back-to-school special. Anyways, okay, that was...
Bed in the hole.
It just needs to be a pyromaniac that wets the bed and tortures animals. That dude's going to shoot a school.
Bed in it, I just want... Do not want to hear any more of the stupid... Video games causes violence, just like rock and roll... Was the music of the devil back in the day.
I don't know. I've seen some pretty good violence come out of some of the Mario Kart matches, so I mean...
Dude, I punched my brother in the mouth so fucking hard when he killed Sonic.
So, anyways, let's move on to the next one here. Equifax peaks... this is from the Register. Equifax peaks under the couch... Finds 2.4 million more folks hit by a breach. So, because Equifax truly doesn't give a shit about, you know, protecting your data. Embattled credit reporting company Equifax has done some data crunching and discovered that another 2.4 million people had their information slurped by hackers. The biz, which was subject to one of the biggest data breaches in U.S. history last May, it's almost been a year since that happened. Damn. Has already had... to revise up the number of affected individuals. The total stood at 145 million in the U.S. and hundreds of thousands in the U.K. and Canada, but now it's found a few more people that previously escaped its forensic testings. In a statement released today, Equifax said that the ongoing analysis of the stolen data had allowed it to confirm the identities of an additional 2.4 million U.S. consumers who had partial driver's license information taken. The driver's licenses... Why do they even have that? You don't need that.
Yes, they do. I don't know why.
But they would say they do.
It said on the firm they needed it, so.
The information was partial because in the vast majority of cases, it did not include consumers' home address or their respective driver's license states, dates of issuance, or expiration dates. Well, still, if you got the number, you can get the rest of that shit.
You have the number, you know what state it's from. They have different formats.
Well, if you have their name and their driver's license number, that's all you need.
Yeah, their address is public record.
The business said that it had, as recommended by forensics experts, focused its initial assessments on Social Security numbers and names as a way of identifying who was affected by the hack. The newly identified batch of people, however, did not have their SSN stolen, so they weren't picked up by the previous investigations. Equifax... So that's not how you do this shit. The way you do this shit is you identify every record that was accessed in the time frame, and then you see what's in it. You don't go, well, what had socials? No, that is not how you do this shit. I don't care that it's millions upon millions of records. If you have to hire an army of analysts to get through that data, that's how you figure out what was in that data. Because just assuming that if it didn't say SSN and then a colon and then a string of numbers that it didn't have.
But, Mops, you're assuming they're competent to begin with.
You're right, and PSV. I am making that assumption.
And you also got to think, they're thinking, what would the OC count as a data breach?
Yeah. They're saying, what did our legal...
What is a data breach?
What is our... That's always a fun conversation with a lawyer. Does that really count as a breach? Can we say potential breach? No, those records actually went to some hacker's Gmail account. That's a breach. Yeah, but, you know, is it truly... Do we know that they read them? We lost control of them. It's a fucking breach. Yeah, lawyers are funny people.
I mean, these records are probably in English. That's a Russian server. If he can't read it, is it a breach?
It's a form of encryption,
right? I don't know that
they
have Google Translate over there.
Yeah, you know, it's a form of encryption, writing it in English when we know that's not their language.
Hey, I can't read Spanglish.
Newly identified batch of people. Okay, so Equifax's interim boss, Paulino de Rigobaros, said in a... God, that sounds like a drug lord's name, doesn't it?
And how?
Said in a statement that the announcement is not about to discover new, or is not about newly discovered stolen data. This is just data they lost in the initial breach. Rather, he said this is about sifting through the previously identified stolen data and comparing it with information in the business's database that was not stolen to identify people who had previously slipped through the net. These people, who had presumably until now thought they were off the hook, will be contacted directly and offered free identity theft protection and credit file monitoring services through Equifax's own company. It will require you signing the agreement not to sue Equifax. Now, figure out what part I embellished.
What part of, sir, your horse has escaped? Let us shut the gate for you. What the... really? That's their response.
What else can they do?
He's a large sum of money. Sorry for fucking up.
Oh, no, no. This is a banking company. They don't do that.
Also need for you to show damages. Just because you've lost your data doesn't mean anyone's defrauded you yet.
Yet.
Could be years.
Could be never.
We all know better, Madman. So...
I'm not going to say someone isn't going to attempt it, but my debit card's been lost in a breach. The one time someone attempted to use it, my bank stopped it. I suffered no financial loss.
How long did you have to go without a debit card while they issued you a new one?
8 hours, but I was asleep 6 of those.
That's pretty good. Most banks, it's a couple of days, and it's kind of an inconvenience.
Oh, yeah. Don't get me wrong. It can be bad, but as far as... shoveling somebody money, you have to show loss to actually get payout.
Yeah.
So there's not a lot Equifax can do. My problem with them is they weren't honest up front. Whenever you lose your shit, you need to, you know, warn your customers to try to limit how much damage they can suffer from. And then they should have just immediately offered, it's our fuck up. The only way to fix it is credit reporting. Pick your credit reporting or credit monitoring. Fix your credit. Pick your credit monitoring service, and we'll cover it.
Madman,
that
you
would have been the best way of going about
that.
You work
for a financial. You know how these people are. No, you have to prove that you were even breached before we'll cover jack and shit for you. Equifax wasn't even going to give these people real credit monitoring. They were just going to, you know, sign them up for a list and you know, go pump them through their own company until they got so much bad press for it that they had to as a PR move. So, anyways, I'm not saying it's bad to be protective of you know, and not immediately, you know, accept every claim that comes at you and try to cover it. I'm just saying when it's this blatantly obvious, it's kind of a losing
on this
battle.
One, when they know it's theirs, they knew which ones they lost.
Yeah.
So on those customers, they should have just said, I'm sorry. Be straightforward with them. We fucked up.
Yeah, once
pick your
you
credit
know,
monitoring service, and we'll cut a check for it.
Yeah, once you know, I mean, it's kind of... Anyways, go ahead, are you?
I have nothing on that one, man.
Oh, I thought you were trying to say something. I'm sorry.
No.
All right, let's go on to the next one. This is from AppleInsider.com. Cellbrite, the Israeli security firm believed to have helped the FBI unlock an iPhone during the San Bernardino investigation, is claiming it is capable of bypassing the security of devices running iOS 11 and older versions, including a recently launched hardware, including the iPhone 8 and X. The company is said to be advertising to its customers it has the ability to access devices running iOS 11, reports Forbes. A marketing document advertising the firm's advanced unlocking and advancement extraction services, or advanced extraction service, to law enforcement agencies advises iOS devices running iOS 5 through iOS 11 can be accessed, including all iPhone, iPad, iPad Pro, and iPod Touch models. A report... I saw Cycros. Like, yeah, you're right. You're not Equifax's customer. You're Equifax's product. That's why they don't give a shit. So, marketing document, blah, 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 blah. Report source claims the Department of Homeland Security successfully raided a iPhone X in a search for data on November 2017, most likely used by Cellbrite's technology. A separate source involved in the police forensics community claims he was informed by Cellbrite it could unlock iPhone 8 and believed it would also be true of the iPhone X. Cellbrite's advanced unlocking service is marked as the industry's only solution for defeating complex locks on market-leading devices, including both iOS and Android smartphones and tablets. The paid service, available only to law enforcement, unlocks the device for government agencies, allowing them to extract the data themselves. The advanced extraction option is billed as the option to access the device's data if it's not accessible by conventional means, such as full disk encryption. Under the service, the full file system is retrieved for the customer, providing access to emails, application data, geolocation data, and other items without jailbreaking or rooting the device. If Cellbrite's claims are true, this effectively means that it's possible for agencies like the FBI to pay to unlock any iOS device, in contrast to the alleged 900,000 supposedly paid to Cellbrite. The report suggests the unlocking process can be relatively inexpensive, as low as $1,500 per device. The apparent hack of the iPhone X using Cellbrite's tech was discovered in a warrant discovered by Forbes with the phone owned by a suspect in an arms trafficking case. The iPhone X was taken from the suspect as he was about to leave the U.S. in November 20th and was sent to Cellbrite specialists at the DHS Homeland Security, so they got it at Customs, Grand Rapids Labs, and data was extracted on November the 5th. The warrant does not mention what data was discovered nor how it was accessed. The iPhone X owner is apparently now awaiting trial on July 31st. It is unknown if the access data will be used in the prosecution. Cellbrite's ability to access the contents of iOS 11 devices is surprising considering the operating system's release also introduced new security features that made it harder to break. This includes the SOS mode disabling TouchOS, a move that effectively prevents police from forcing a suspect to unlock their phone using a fingerprint. It is unknown exactly how Cellbrite is able to defeat iOS's 11 security, and it is unlikely such information will be released, as Apple would almost certainly attempt to patch the security flaw as quickly as possible. Report sources claim the firm has developed new techniques to get in, but considering Apple's quick reaction to plug security holes, yeah, bullshit, it is probably... Dude, Apple would deny for years on end that there's ever a security issue, and then they might silently fix it in a patch, but they will never acknowledge that they ever had an issue. They're terrible about that. You go look up the MacBook Pro Wi-Fi firmware bug if you want to see what I'm basing that off of. Or, you know, how about the fact that you didn't even need a real password on root? You could get to the root account, you know, through the system control panel anytime you wanted with any password because it wasn't fucking bothering to check.
Hey, man, don't go bad-mouthing the Apple. Apparently, they take your show on their little pod thingy.
And they're free to do so, but I'm still going to make fun of them. In fact, I've been having a lot of fun at work when people complain about well, I'm on a Mac. You need to support that. And I just, well, why don't you get a real computer?
You're on a Mac. Good for you. So you're not sexually active then, are you?
So that's another argument. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun to watch people's reaction when you tell them to get a real computer.
They probably vape as well.
Oh, they get mad. It's like, I've got a full Unix stack under there. What have you got? VirtualBox. I can run as many Unix stacks as I want. Yeah, whatever. So anyway, it's just funny. It is unknown exactly how Cellbrite. I think we covered this. So yeah, Cellbrite is selling devices to the government to crack cell phones. So if you're a bad guy, stop being a bad guy. And if you have stuff you care to keep private, cell phone's probably not the best place to put it.
Switch to a Galaxy.
No,
the Galaxy hasn't been cracked yet.
They said Android devices too. I'll bet they can get into the Galaxy.
They said Android devices too. I thought it was just Apple.
Well, that's because I got it off an Apple-centric site. It's from the Apple Insider blog, but they did mention Android in there. So
okay.
They didn't say anything on versions of Android, but Android's got a whole nother problem because there are just piles of devices out there that never get updated. So it might have been secure when it came out, but your Android 5 phone, that's
It's screaming, come right my ass.
But it's because they never patch, and it's not your fault. It's that you literally cannot get a patch for that phone because the phone manufacturer, if you will call them up and said, hey, I need to patch this phone so it can't get hacked, they'll say, well, you need to buy the latest phone.
With as old as it is, I might have hit the point of, it's so old, it's not being hacked anymore.
Are you running the Windows 95 of cell phones? Because that would be like the BlackBerry OS, I think.
Not quite that old. Oh, it might be the Windows 2000.
So Zykros is saying that old Android phones were basically walking botnets, which I can guess. Yeah, I'm not going to disagree with that.
I'll give him that one. That was pretty good.
Yeah. So.
Hey, it'll still order a pizza, fucker. It might be attacking several small third world countries trying to pwn data, or my country trying to steal shit, but it's also ordering a pizza.
So I would say if you have something that you truly want to keep private, cell phone, or, well, anywhere on the internet, really, is probably not the best place to put it. It's like people who get all upset when their private photos get leaked off Facebook. Why were you uploading private photos to Facebook?
Exactly.
If you have shit that you want to keep private, maybe don't put it on a cloud, on a device that depends on the cloud, like a Chromebook or any cell phone. Don't upload it to Facebook. Maybe keep it on a traditional, disk somewhere, if it's a file. And, if you need to send it to somebody, why don't you go visit them? If you need to send your pictures to your parents, go visit your parents. I bet they'd like to see you.
Okay, those pictures are pictures that would be fine on Facebook. We're talking about the fappening here. Don't stick your nudes on the iCloud, okay? Thumb drive.
Now Mad I'm envisioning Madman giving it, showing up to his family. He's like, here, look at these.
There are some I'm going to fucking do that too, because they've been evil to me. It's like, I just need medical opinions. Is this a growth, a boil, or just something coming out of my ass?
Just don't text them the image when they're in the vehicle.
I didn't know he was driving.
I didn't know he was going to throw his phone across the That wasn't even his ass.
Oh no, it was my ass. Big must believe this until he dies.
Not that you weren't willing to bend over, we stopped you. You're like, no, hang on.
There's a better way.
Called an optical illusion.
And it worked, didn't it?
Yep.
All right, next article is from Ars Technica. 23,000 HTTPS certificates are axed after CEO emails the private keys. Wow. So I hid the column in Excel. Doesn't that make it go away?
Yes. Yes, it does, sir. Yes, sir, it does.
Sir, your computer is now voice activated. Have fun.
Major dust up on the internet discussion forum was touching off troubling questions about the security of some browser trusted HBS certificates when it was revealed the CEO of a certificate reseller emailed a partner the sensitive private keys for 23,000 TLS certificates. The email was sent out Tuesday by the CEO of Trustico, a US-based reseller of TLS certificates, issued by the Browser Trusted Certificate Authorities Komodo and until recently Symantec. It was sent to Jeremy Rowley, the executive vice president at DigiCert, the certificate authority that acquired Symantec's certificate issuance business after Symantec was caught flouting binding industry rules, prompting Google to distrust the Symantec certificate in its Chrome browser. In communications earlier this month, Trustico notified DigiCert that 50,000 Symantec-issued certificates Trustico had resold should be mass revoked because of security concerns. When Rowley asked for proof the certificates were compromised, the Trustico CEO emailed the private keys of 23,000 certificates along, according to an account posted to a Mozilla security policy forum. The report produced a collective gasp among many security practitioners who said it was demonstrated a shockingly cavalier treatment of the digital certificates that form one of the most basic foundations of website security. Generally speaking, private keys for TLS certificates should never be archived by resellers. They shouldn't even be... Yeah. And I mean, yeah, they're in the CSR, but no, you shouldn't save... It's like the little three or four digits on the back of your credit card. They're not supposed to save those. It's how you prove you have the card. Anyways, generally speaking, private keys for TLS certificates should never be archived by resellers. And even in the rare cases where such storage is permissible, they should be treated tightly safeguarded. A CEO being able to attach the keys for 23,000 certificates to an email raises troubling concerns that those types of best practices were not followed. There's no indication that the email was encrypted either, though neither Trustico nor DigiCert provided detail in that response. Yeah, so they said it in clear text. 23,000. Well, it probably went over TLS between the email servers, because most email servers will try to do that by default. Other critics contend Trustico emailed the keys in an attempt to force customers with Symantec-issued certificates to move to Komodo-issued certificates. Although DigiCert took over Symantec's certificate issuance business, it doesn't count Trustico as a reseller. So, blah, 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 blah. Several hours after the post went live, Trustico's website went offline. So now Trustico's under attack. Basically, Trustico broke all the rules for how you're supposed to handle these digital certificates. And now DigiCert has to rekey all of these certificates because they broke the rules. They're not even supposed to be keeping the private keys, and yet they're just cavalierly emailing them around. If you have the private key and the public key, you can pretend to be another website. That's the whole point of the SSL cert, is that it verifies. So I guess I'd explain. The little green lock in your browser is a TLS certificate. Well, more accurately, it's that your browser verified the TLS public key that was presented by the web server you connected to. The idea is that only the person who holds that private key can validate the question that they own the domain in question. So when you go to a website, it presents the public key and the name of the website that you're visiting, the URL on the top level domain, right? So like www.galaxy15radio.com. And it then goes to the issuer of the certificate, because that's the other part of the certificate, is, you know, where you got it from, whether it's Let's Encrypt or GoDaddy or Trustico or DigiCert. So, and it says, okay, I got the certificate from DigiCert. I'm www.galaxy15radio.com. Here's my public key. And the only way to generate and so the idea is that the client will then encrypt some data with the public key, because only somebody with the private key can decrypt it. This is basic asymmetric crypto. And this validates the identity of the server. So you're really talking to somebody who is supposed to have that private key. And then your browser and the server will set up an encrypted tunnel, not using asymmetric keys because those are slow. They'll agree on a symmetric key for that session, and then they'll encrypt the data going from your browser to the server and vice versa with that symmetric key. And that's how TLS works at a very high level. I probably butchered it. In my defense, I've been drinking.
I think it's pretty good.
But if somebody else has those private keys, they can pretend to be websites. So that's like, it's like, yep. You get Amazon's private key, you can totally go set up your own Amazon.com, and people will give you their credit card numbers because they have no way to know that you're not Amazon. Because that's the whole point of the little lock. So, anyways. So now all these certs that the CEO emailed have to be reissued. And reissuing certs is a mess because half the time the revocation stuff doesn't even work right. So you're probably going to see all the browser makers put out a patch to manually revoke these certs in the browser codes themselves. This is just a mess. The technology behind TLS is actually really good. The way we handle it is kind of stupid.
long story short, he done goofed.
This guy done goofed bad. Trustico is probably out of business at this point because they basically demonstrated to the world that they do not know how to handle TLS certificates. So, sort of like a bank losing, like going out and publishing everyone's account numbers, like on an
with
S3
the verification
bucket.
Code.
Yeah, with the code on the S3 bucket, along with copies of checks and shit like that. So, anyways, next article. This is from the BBC. You sent me this earlier, and we're just going to make fun of it because, it's what we do here. Bill Gates says cryptocurrencies cause deaths.
Dun, dun, dun.
My father was killed by a Bitcoin.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
He choked to death on a Bitcoin.
Which is impressive since it has no physical extension into reality. Cryptocurrencies
that
are
to all the Dogecoin that were laughing at him as he died.
You can really tell he wrote his own speech for this one.
Cryptocurrencies are killing people in a fairly direct way, Microsoft founder Bill Gates has said. He was referring to the way digital currencies like Bitcoin are used to buy drugs like synthetic opioid fentanyl. In an Ask Me Anything session on the news website Reddit, he said that the anonymity of digital currencies meant that they were linked to terrorist funding and money laundering.
You know what else is?
Every day.
The $100 bill.
Yeah.
Did Benny kill anyone? I don't think so. Benny was just handed to a man that was going to kill some people. That dude later then bought some cigarettes, probably some cognac, and was very happy.
Some criticized him, saying he was ill-informed about the technology. Asked by one user what his opinion on the technology, Mr. Gates replied, "The main features of cryptocurrency is their anonymity. I don't think this is a good thing. The government's ability to find money laundering and tax evasion and terrorist funding is a good thing. Right now, cryptocurrencies are used for buying fentanyl and other drugs, so it's rare technology that has caused deaths in a fairly direct way. I think the speculative wave around ICOs, initial coin offerings, and cryptocurrencies is super risky for those who go long." Well, no shit it is. It's the Beanie Babies of this year. So, and for the most part, it's kind of crashed out already. Veteran investor Warren Buffett has previously said speculative cryptocurrency will come to a bad end. Mr. Gates has not always been so cynical about Bitcoin. 2014 interview on Bloomberg TV, he said Bitcoin was better than currency. He is less than enthusiastic. Response on Reddit did not go down well with those participating in the debate, with some reproaching him for what they felt was an attempt to influence the market. He's trying to drive Bitcoin down so he can buy it up. That's totally what it is, guys.
Is that the conspiracy? Is it?
Huh?
Is that the conspiracy?
I don't know. I just made it up.
Okay, I'm going to run with it then. Yeah. Yeah, Bill's shit-talking Bitcoin to drive it down so he can get rich.
Yeah, the rest of the article is about Bitcoins being used in various ways and, you know, how the government doesn't like them. But, yeah, it's just come on, guys. Really?
Yeah.
Bitcoin kills people! And so, I mean, it's just like...
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
So does regular money. What's your point?
That Bitcoin had an AR with the googly eyes on it.
The googly eyes and the angry eyebrows. Yes.
Full on murder gun there.
We should just abolish currency to stop people from dying.
It was probably even fully semi-automatic.
Fully semi-automatic Bitcoin. It was the Russians! Wow.
It was Russian bitcoins with an AR-15 with googly eyes.
Truth bomb alert.
Oh, shit.
God damn, that's what fucking watching CNN feels like.
Speaking of what, you know, watching CNN feels like, this last article, RU sent to me, it's from BBC. Free treats for students who put down their phones. An app that rewards students for time spent away from their phones is being released in the UK. Hold was developed by three students who met at Copenhagen Business School who wanted to develop something to help with the issue of device distraction. It has proved popular in Scandinavia, where with more than 120,000 users across Norway, Denmark, and Sweden. Experts are growing increasingly worried about the issue of device addiction. According to a 2017 study by the University of Texas, simply having a smartphone within eyeshot can reduce productivity, slow down response speed, and reduce grades. Yes, the phone just sitting there is reducing your grades.
Oh, it gives off special radiation.
No, it's that you're distracted and actually paying attention to the phone that's not doing anything, rather than concentrating on your work.
Pretty sure the phone has to be running like Angry Birds or that the app where you feed the bunny so much it explodes to.
Ooh, I want to play that.
Go watch the Wreck-It Ralph preview. That had me rolling. They discover an app game and blow up a bunny in front of a toddler.
Terrifying.
Love it. Anyways, previous study from London School of Economics suggested pupils who did not use their smartphones on school grounds saw a 6.4 increase in test scores. Against what?
Exactly.
Pupils who do not use their smartphones on school grounds saw a 6.4. Again, against what? If they do not, when did they stop? I mean, or are you comparing it to other students? Because you could just be comparing smart students against stupid students.
Yeah. Generally, those who are, you know, got their life together and are moving forward probably aren't looking at a screen every 30 fucking seconds.
I mean, it's the UK, so we're not talking about H-1B visa students.
No.
That's a bad joke. I'm sorry.
It's
not really, but...
It didn't fall flat, but it didn't land. Not 10 out of 10. It wasn't Olympic quality. You're in the running. It just happens if the Jamaican guy fucks up next, you've got it in the bag.
Oh, okay.
Well, fucking just put the phone down. I can't stop looking at my phone. Well, fucking put it down. Put it in a shoebox. Walk away. It's not that important.
Turn it off.
Yeah.
Well, I just installed the Hypnotoad app.
I know what you're saying, BSB.
That's the sound effect I need. I need the Hypnotoad sound effect. Oh, I gotta get that.
You know, is it addiction or just lack of self-control? Because we're not willing to have the conversation once again. You know, one side will say, well, it's addiction. Well, we can't stop it. And the other side, well, it's self-control, dude. You don't need it. But I land in the self-control camp myself. You know? Don't need it. But you see people paranoid as shit when they don't have their phone.
I had a guy at work actually show me a Indiegogo for a brand new kind of smartphone. It has an e-ink screen, and you can make calls on it and texts on it, and that's it. And he was really excited about it. And I'm like, you know, that's not bad. How much is that? I might back that. You know, get an extra phone to keep because I do a lot on my phone. But, you know, it's okay. And he goes, oh, $250 for what? No. For a fucking flip phone?
Just go to a secondhand store.
Yeah.
You've probably got an old Nokia lying around the house somewhere.
Actually, it turns out the rubber they used in the pads for those melts over time, so...
Yeah, they degrades.
Yeah.
It can't be too hard to order something off... What's that Chinese website?
Banggood.
Banggood or something. You'd be able to get one from there for nothing. Somebody's still churning out these Nokia phones. I guarantee it.
Yeah, Psychro says new Nokia 3310s are $40.
There you go.
Oh, you can still play Snake on them. Well,
I love that game. this is what I mean. I would make a shit parent because that's all my kid would get until they get a job. And it would be prepaid only. None of this fucking you can call and use it whenever you want.
So, let's see, the rest of the app. Apple will be rolled out to 170 universities around the UK, works on iOS and Android, it's free. You get 10 points for every 20 minutes you do not use the phone between 7 and 2300 every day of the week. The phone points can be exchanged for goods and services within the app's marketplace for brands such as Cafe Nero, View Cinemas, and Amazon. To earn 2 free coffees, students need 300 points, which equates to 10 hours on the Hold app. Free popcorn at the cinema, 2 hours to accrue 60 points. So they're getting companies to sign up to give shit away to students who don't use a phone.
Okay.
Does that somehow translate to marketing data? I'm trying to figure out. I think it might.
It does. It does. And it also shows what product are really, really wanted. Also, I have an idea. I am going to buy a mobile phone. I am going to install this app. I am just going to get free shit. Think about it, man. I don't fucking have a phone. I don't use it. But if I can get free shit just for having a phone, I'm just going to put a phone on my fucking desk and never touch it.
Careful, watch BSV. Careful. We know what app he's going to be running.
That was quick.
But is the free shit going to be more expensive than owning the phone? You have to have a phone plan for this thing to be recording it.
Wi-Fi.
Yeah, you're...
Go get like a secondhand iPod Touch or some bullshit, right?
Yeah. Dude, smart kids are going to game this.
Oh, yeah.
Am I wrong that most kids have 2 phones these days?
Parents pay for and then the burner phone. The burner phone, they do the sexting on. So I guess boner phone is right there.
Yeah. So I thought there's there's one that the parents check every week to see that little Timmy's not looking at hardcore Lolita porn. And then there's like the phone that they're actually doing all that shit on.
Damn. So anyways, let's move on to this. And yes, I did find a website that had Futurama sound effects while we were talking about it, so we could...
That's why I said that was fast.
Yeah. So, anyways, so the first one up is... Psychros notified me that there was an update to this, which got me looking at it. Because I think I've played with this thing before, but it's been a while. It's called BetterCap, and it's a Swiss Army knife for network attacks and monitoring. And I was thinking this was the Python library, but that's actually not what this thing is. It's a standalone tool for manipulating HTTP, HTTPS, and TCP traffic in real time for finding credentials or just doing flat-out man in the middle. I've got it. You know what they're going to do with these apps, right? They're going to buy 5 or 6 burner phones and leave them on the Wi-Fi at home all day long. So they can accumulate their points without actually having to, anyways. I haven't played with BetterCap very much, at least not in a very long time. And I thought that, I thought it was something different, but I got looking into it. It's just, I used to, the tool I used was called Edercap. So this is a newer, this is a rewrite or a newer version of that. So they called it Bettercap. And yeah, Edercap is the one I'd played with in the past, which is a fantastic tool. I don't know if it's even up to date anymore, but anyways, so it's a nice spoofing tool. It's easy to install in like a Kali or even a regular Linux box. And yeah, if you've never played with this stuff before, it's actually really funny when you manage to do it, because you do a little bit of ICMP spoofing so that the router sends all the data through you, or just, you know, hop on Wi-Fi. And yeah, dsniff, that's another good one, Psychros. That's a fantastic one too. And yeah, last time I played with this, I was getting all kinds of the Facebook passwords, but that was before Facebook was HTTPS only. So that was fun. She went into a Panera Bread and collected all kinds of info. It was great. With a netbook. Anyways, I still have that netbook, actually. I haven't booted it up in a long time because I'm sure it's slow as Christmas, but I actually still have that netbook. And one of the big spelling points of that netbook was it had a Wi-Fi card in it that you could actually do packet injection with. So
nice.
Yep. It was... Well, so that's a bit of a lie. The Wi-Fi card in that netbook, it's a Dell Mini 9, because the Wi-Fi card that came in that netbook was not as good. So I took the Wi-Fi card out of an Asus 7 EEE PC, which was the original netbook, but that one could do packet injection. So that ended up in the Dell Mini. And I hacked up the Asus EEE PC and ended up, I think Static ended up with that thing, because I think he gave it to his sister. But I put, you know, hacked a touchscreen and a bunch of other shit into that. Anyways, so yeah, this Bettercap tool, it's neat. It's an update to Edercap. I like it. I'm going to need to play with this more next time I get a chance to do some man-in-the-middle injection. I've been basically doing full-time blue teaming here lately, so I haven't really gotten to play with the attack tools much in the last year. So a little rusty. But anyways.
Yeah, it's like riding a bike. You'll eventually get hit by a bus.
I can't find the right sound effect. I was going to play the sound effect, but it's gone. Anyways. All right. And then final thing I have for tonight. I found this website earlier this week, and I'm really enjoying it. And if you want to screw with Google's algorithms, this is a way to do it. Hooktube.com. This website mirrors YouTube. And what it... So anytime you hit a YouTube video that either doesn't want to play or you just don't want to give, you know, a play click to, you just want to be able to watch the video without Google tracking that you watched the video, change that, the URL, change out YouTube to HookTube, and it'll load and it'll play. Age restrictions, geo restrictions, or just, you know, a video you don't want to acknowledge that you watched. This does it.
They've been around for a while now.
Oh, yeah, they have. But I just thought it was fun to point out.
No, it's good. I've been using it more and more. Things are censored or...
Or, you know, you just don't want to give somebody YouTube ad revenue.
Or the BBC puts a lot of their shit for free on YouTube for anyone in Britain.
Yep. User joined your channel.
You can now watch it free if you're not in Britain.
So...
HookTube.
Yeah, I like it. It's a nice find. So, anyways, that's all I've really got for tonight. I don't know. Let's see. Do I do the closing spiel? No, we got to do closing thoughts. BSV, closing thoughts.
I am all out of thoughts right now.
So, Psychros is asking, did I see that? I did see that, Psychros, that sales are down. And that's because I think smartphones are starting to hit the same saturation mark PCs did a while back. It's not like they're going in away. They're just starting to hit saturation. And, you know, phones are good enough that, I mean, you've still got people using iPhone 6s, right? So, iPhone 6s, Android 5 and 6 phones.
Or you can go down the conspiracy theory that there's a global recession about to happen.
Well, you know,
and people just aren't spending money.
Madman, closing thoughts.
The Russian bitcoins are going to realize that Putin has modernized his nuclear arsenal. They're going to go from murderers to mass murderers. Hiroshima is going to be bombed again. The bitcoins will be responsible.
Wow. All right, are you future news? I mean, closing thoughts.
I get nothing on Madman.
Yeah.
That was good. Just put googly eyes on it, and I'm all for it, man.
There you go.
We're good.
Listen to the stream. We're always working on it. Pure decking every Thursday. Get in the IRC channel. Let's see. In the IRC right now, we got myself, Sardonic, Psychros, Iron Angel, and Madman. So if you hop in there when we're doing the show live, you can throw shit at me. I may or may not see it. I try to keep an eye on it. Of course, the Galaxy 15 Radio site, which has not had much work on it done on it lately. The Galaxy 15 Radio subreddit, which, according to Madman, shows up in Bing before the Galaxy 15 Radio site. And apparently we're
apparently
on iTunes.
Apparently now available on iTunes.
Apparently we're on iTunes. I wasn't aware that we're available on iTunes, but apparently we're on iTunes. That's all I've got for tonight. I'm going to play the Pac-Man sound.
That's it, womp, man. Womp. Game over, man. It's game over.